Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming back and being with us for this 12th episode of the Love in the Mirror podcast. I'm Shannon Bodie, your host, and this week we are diving deeper into our series that mirrors the Love in the Mirror course. We're looking at what gets stirred up, how we invite fear to be with us rather than running from it, how we need to take a break when it gets too much, especially when we're sitting with and facing great change. This is the Love in the Mirror podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Again, I'm Shannon Bodie, your host, and I'm so glad that you're here. Something in the description or something in your seeking and searching brought you especially to this episode. And I really don't believe there are any coincidences when that happens. So this episode is, as I said, part of our series that mirrors the Live Love in the Mirror course. So there are some dear, amazing, brave women walking this walk right now on a weekly basis. And what this series within our podcast is highlighting are some of the, of course, honoring their dear and important confidentiality, honoring some of the epiphanies and things that they're coming up with, but also some of the content, not all of the modalities and things like that that we're working with, but some of the content. So you all get a taste in your own journey of how to look at change and hopefully some compassionate mirroring for yourself. You'll also learn a bit about my journey along the way. And so this course currently is in an 8-week incarnation. And we just completed week 3 last night. And the topic today is stir it, name it, invite it to tea. So I don't know about you, but whenever I sit with a change that I'm looking at, there are many stages of some resistance, right? And there's a whole bunch of delightful change science and theory around this. And I might reference that, of course, as we go through this podcast, but really, I want y'all to get the nitty-gritty experience of it and hopefully some empathy of it, that you are not alone in that. Have you ever, it's classic, right? Have you ever decided to start to even make small, compassionate changes for yourself and decide right then that your nervous system, your body needs exactly the thing that you're trying to cut back on? This is not new, right? Or, bless it, tried to break up with a person and then decided, or the universe decided, or that person starts acting exactly the way you want, even if you haven't shared any of your decision-making with this person. Suddenly that surge of energy comes back and they're showing up exactly how you would like for a brief amount of time, just enough to get you really confused and decide, oh, maybe not yet. Whatever the change you're looking at is, it's very natural for energy to get stirred up. Very simple comparison. I will look at this in the course of this next 30 minutes. But my dear beloved fiance was cleaning out our fish tank this weekend. Live example. Very, very in-depth one for your day, whatever you're dealing with. I haven't had a lot of coffee yet, so I'm going with the fish tank example. And let's just say it had been several months since we really cleaned the fish tank. And by we, I mean him. And it took some time, right? We had to bring in the hose. We had one of those big old fish tanks with a turtle, dear sweet little red-eared slider turtle in it. And it really took some time because all the sediment at the bottom was stirred up. Right? So the more he cleaned, the dirtier and more disgusting it got, right? All this goo, I won't go into it, but all that was at the bottom, right? So the deeper you dive, the more, you know, ridiculous looking it got until it got cleared out, sort of like coughing up from a cold, right? Our energy is the same. Our mental thought patterns, our limbic responses in the body, our habits that we're comfortable with, those are the same. Eventually that fish tank got really clean. It's beautiful now, by the way. It took a little bit of effort and elbow grease to get there. And now it's really clear. Our turtle's really happy swimming around. So it takes a little bit. And when we decide, when we are pulled to the next layer of our identity evolution, because something inside of us calls for a deeper, more enlivened experience, things are gonna get stirred up. The stuff at the bottom of the fish tank is gonna rise, and it's not gonna be pretty, and sometimes it's gonna be messy, and that's okay. So we're peeling back a few of the layers of that this week in class, and today in our time together. Now, as you're listening, you may be anywhere with regard to a change. You might be looking back on something, and this helps give you perspective. So I invite you to name something. So as you're listening, you can really make some meaning for it in your own life. I feel like whenever we create our own experience with content, it just makes it that much more fun, quite frankly. So maybe you're looking back in hindsight over something that, next time you go through a change, you could give yourself more grace around it than you did, right? Because this is a natural process. Or maybe you are in a preparation or contemplation stage of change for yourself. You're seeing a habit that you'd like to refine or change for yourself. Or you know what that habit is and you've identified it, but you're sitting with it. You're not ready to start to make changes yet. Maybe you are in active preparation. You know you're going to make a change. You're getting ready. Perhaps you've even set up some accountability support systems for yourself. Maybe you have an accountability buddy or some brave person you're preparing to share with, I'm going to start to do this, or I'm going to do this thing less, or I'm going to put those job applications out there, whatever it is, whatever the change you're preparing to make is. Maybe you're in the midst of it yourself. You've started it and the stuff is already getting stirred up. Wherever you are in this process, I would say take the wisdom, leave the rest, let it go. My hope is that it's helpful for you because we're not in this alone, my friends. So looking at what gets stirred up, right? A couple of things to explore and the why things get stirred up. Just a few questions to ask ourselves when we're dealing with old energy, old patterns. In Ayurvedic wisdom, it's called ama, that gunk or stored up stuff that comes from places sort of like the things crammed to the back of your closet that haven't made it into the donation pile yet. It's the emotional gunk that is stored up that usually starts to create some uncomfortability, right? Starts to prompt us. It might make us feel a little sluggish. It might make us fearful. But whatever it is, it turns our intuition inward or toward that next, best, better way of living. Whatever that is. So here's a few filters to put that through. No matter what stage of change you're in, where you're looking. What are your current personal habits as you look at identity evolution? If you think you're the kind of person that always does this thing or that has to be with this type of people, this type of relationship, if you're the type of person who needs to make this amount of money, or be in this nature of professional experience. What could daringly be different, more enlivening, more thriving, more alive? What do you deeply deserve at the core of your being? And what are the consequences of living into that? Last week, we looked a little bit at the consequences of staying where you are. 9 times out of 10, we're not looking at a highly dangerous situation. If you are, oh my goodness, dear ones, I invite you to get the support you need immediately. We all deserve to feel safe on every level of our being in all circumstances. That is our birthright. If you're looking beyond that as well, what are the consequences of moving forward? What are the consequences, the blessings, perhaps the challenges of loving yourself enough to make the next brave step? What would that look like? When we make change, we leave something behind. And this is when we look at the concept of eustress, correct? That there are some positive stressors. We are leaving behind a set of circumstances that our system, our thought patterns, our family systems and community systems are used to, right? Folks are used to us behaving as we are. They are. It helps everyone make sense of the world when things stay the same. It's just the nature of things, and that's okay. But some folks are going to be triggered by the changes that we'd like to make and encourage us to stay with the status quo. That might be very explicit or implicit in the form of feedback we get when we bravely start to share and make different choices. So another filter to explore with this is, what are your relationship contracts? This work is from Caroline Mice, and I really appreciate her very clear filter about this. In the book Sacred Contracts dives into this a little bit. But it's looking at, we all have an agreement in our relationships with folks. And again, this may be a review of information for many of you, but it's just kind of fun to look at. Take a little survey for yourself as you bravely look at stepping into greater self-love, greater potential of what your birthright is for in this life, in this earth, this journey. How will that pull at the thread of your current relationships? Some will absolutely come with you. It might be an adjustment. Some are going to have some significant resistance to that. Some are no longer going to mirror the new vibration that you are seeking and living into. And that's all okay. So who are the folks you can bravely say, look, I'm moving this way. I need your help. Or I'm moving this way. I need to share it with you. I need to bring you along in a conscious conversation. How is this going to impact us? Right? Our inner sanctum folks, those are the people we want to address with that. And then, of course, if this starts to really pull at a thread within your inner sanctum relationships, where you start to see, oh, that might mean this person cannot come with me in the same way, then getting those supports and preparations for those relationships to change and moving at that pace that is worthy of what you need in your life with all your gifts and challenges right now. But it's something to look at. Another filter, and we talked a lot about this in class this week, are the coping strategies that we currently employ, right? Last week, I think I got on my soapbox a little bit about loving the version of yourself that came up with whatever coping strategy arose at the time. If that was eating a little more than you need, drinking a little more than you need, if it was working a lot to get through something, if it was making lists until the cows come home, whatever that coping strategy is, if it was people pleasing, that version of yourself wisely and skillfully created that as a form of survival at the time it was needed, that is okay. Usually when we're looking at change and moving into the next more free, lighter version of ourselves, we might find those strategies no longer serve us. They're actually holding us back. And in fact, those coping strategies might be our biggest impetus for change, right? So live example from Dear Brave group member, she realized that, you know, she is really highly skilled at taking great physical care of herself. And as she's looking at loving an older version of herself in the future and aging with love and compassion, She started to gain weight, literally, as soon as we started looking at this in group. So, oh my goodness, there's a very live trigger for her, right? And that weight gain for her brings up a lot of old coping patterns of either binging, eating, purging, as a form of anxiety management, taking care of herself. So right now that's showing up. The coping or the trigger is the coping habit. I think I've shared with you all sometimes for me that overeating has been that. A coping pattern for me is overdoing. Being so busy and creating that I can't see the forest for the trees. And sometimes being busy and creating frenetic energy in the form of caring for others or people pleasing to the point where my needs get lost. And then I end up getting burnout. When that happens, that's my sign. Up, there's a need here. I need to look at what is actually going on, offering compassion to myself with that and moving forward, especially as I live into the goals of someone who is aligned with spirit, loving myself on a daily basis so I can love others from that fueled place. Right. So taking a look at your strategies. And I bring this up too. We're almost done with the filters. What gets stirred up? Let me know. And I would love to hear from you on the Facebook page, innerpeacerising.com, facebook.com/innerpeacerising, rather. If you have any who do you think you are stuff going on, I bring this up because it comes up literally with every client I've ever worked with in the last 20 years. It comes up in so many healing structures, practices that are efficacious and evidence-based. There is usually a belief around deserving, around not being worthy, around not being enough. And these are archetypal challenges. Who do you think you are to live into the grace and potential and beautiful light of your being? There's so many beautiful quotes around this, I can't even count. Who do you think you are to shine as bright as you possibly can? And my friends, we know when we do shine brightly, some folks aren't going to be able to handle that because they're in their own stuff. They're going to put on their sunglasses. They might run away. They might not understand the bright shining light that you are. When the layers of old story or trauma or old coping start to come off and get removed, that is okay too. You might not understand it. But as we start to brighten that internal, beautiful light of purpose and flame, the who to think you are energy doesn't have any place there. But it's going to come up. It might. Let me know if it has for you and what form it takes. Usually it takes the form of staying small and safe in some way. Staying safe in some container. Staying safe in some realm of circumstance. Expectation. Living up to prior expectations of others and ourselves. All things just to see what dinged with you. What did you feel a resonance around when I went through that list? Particularly, where do we feel it in the body? That, maybe you feel it in your gut or a pang in your heart where I'm mentioning something of, oh gosh, I might need to make a change with that person, or that who do you think you are energy is coming up. And so let's take a deep breath. What do we do when we notice any of these? And that's just a handful of things to consider, right? What gets stirred up for many of us now, as we start to look at that, if you have a pulse, fear is probably going to come into the equation at some point. Because all of our internal systems, and not just those, but our ancestral collective patterns, our family of origin stories, they come in to keep us safe. If we have a family belief pattern about abundance not being possible, then my goodness, making money and serving others becomes a challenge or a contradiction in terms. Just for example, wink, I'm not dealing with that at all. Or if we have ancestral collective trauma that gets passed down, Many of us do. Fear is a way of keeping us safe. So rather than eschewing fear or begrudging it when it comes up, I invite you to find some strategies. And if you need deeper support with this, please reach out. I have a lot of tips, tricks, tools of sitting with that fear. We talked in class last night about this beautiful allegory of Buddha inviting Mara to tea. Right? He is coming into his personal, beautiful power, not from an egoic place, but from that place of love, coming into his true divine potential. And Mara throws everything she can at him. Mara is that face of fear. And many religious and spiritual traditions have incredible, beautiful story that reflect this common experience back to us. Who do you think you are to be brave, beautiful, perfect, in your own light, in your own way, perfectly imperfect? Who do you think you are? You need to stay small. And he says, Mara, I see you. So when you have a moment, when you have the space, I invite you to turn. Say, I see you. I see you, fear. I see you. Let's sit down. Sit down. Let's chat. Now, is this something that you want to do when you're driving the kids all over the place, or when you do have a very busy work day, or perhaps when you are sitting with, you know, a contentious relationship? You probably want to do this when you have a little bit of time to yourself, perhaps a journal, perhaps some soothing music, and you've prepared a rewarding experience for yourself afterwards, right? I'm going to sit with my fear for 5 minutes, and then I'm going to watch my favorite show. Great. But sitting with it. Because when we can, if we can put a face to it, often it might be a younger version of ourselves that went through that. And if you need to sit with it in context with a dear practitioner, in context with a dear supportive group, with a dear friend that you call afterwards or who sits with you, please know that if it's too hard to sit with it, that is okay too. But I invite you to sit with it for 30 seconds. To see what you can do. Titrate the experience, the intensity. Sit with it for a minute. If you can stay in your body, you are inviting strength, resilience, and proof that you can do it. You're facing the tiger, as Peter Levine would say. Ways to sit with it. And one or two simple ways that I will invite you in today are to simply elongate the exhalation. How do we sit with the fear when we're looking at change? Or fear, period, right? Oh, I promise you there's wisdom in it. It's not just sitting for the fear with the fear for the sake of sitting with it. There is such valuable wisdom there. It's like getting through the bottleneck and being able to look around and seeing, oh, this is actually where a great deal of healing and wisdom is. Plus, we build up that resiliency, that proof for ourselves that we can do it, and we stop running. And we cope less, and we thrive more. I promise you that's the experience. But you also need to do it at a pace that honors you and honors where you are. So great compassion in your pacing with this. Sitting with the fear. Why I love elongating the exhale. Years and years of yoga teacher training. I still remember this. It was from my first 200-hour teacher training. And I had, oh God, I manifested such beautiful, incredible teachers. My teacher, Monica, studied all over the world. And one of her favorite gurus said, sweetie, you can travel the world. You can study every type of pranayama, movement of breath. You can do every enlightenment kirtan chanting you want. If you want to reach enlightenment, just lengthen your exhale. She's like, excuse me, what? And she is a divine bright light and such a well-versed practitioner. lengthen your exhale. That's it. And she was frustrated, right? Like, no, I'm studying all these things. Nope, sweetie, just lengthen your exhale. So she brought that to us, to our class. We cannot be in fight, flight, and freeze and have a longer exhale at the same time. Period. We just can't. Now, the problem might be waiting for you on the other side of that longer exhale, but we're going to meet it with more oxygen in the brain. We're not going to meet it from a neurologically, limbically frozen, terrified, let's get the hell out of here place. We cannot solution focus. We cannot move forward into our pure potential from that place, from the place of trigger, right? So whatever practice you want to take with it, start playing with it. Inhale for your own personal pace of 3 counts, exhale for 4. If it starts to create anxiety, don't go too fast. That's okay. Find the pace that works for you, right? Your own personal count of 3 or 4, your own personal count of 5 or 6. Play with that for a few rounds. If you feel like you're straining the breath at all, back off, give yourself a gentler cadence. Simply lengthen your exhale for 2 minutes, even 30 seconds, my friends. And see what that does when you bring up the situation that brought up the fear. You might be feeling tightness in your chest. You might be aware of why the fear is here, or you might just be experiencing the somatic reality of it, right? Gosh, I'm getting anxious. I don't even know why. Because often our body keeps the score, as Bruce Lipton says, right? Our body keeps the score. We are going to experience the physiological impacts, the emotional impacts, before we even know what the story is sometimes. There's wisdom in that too. Okay, so you're feeling those experiences, those responses of our body's wisdom around a person, around a situation. Okay, you don't need to know why. Don't worry about that. Start to lengthen the exhale there. See what wisdom waits for you on the other side. And that wisdom may take a while to show up. But if we start to develop a practice, a relationship with it, usually when we invite that fear to sit down with us, we're inviting a younger version of ourselves that has not been seen, that has been running the show from a hijacked place, from a place of survival. And we can bring some consciousness, light, and awareness to that place of deep need. And that is such a compassionate greeting. We all deserve that. And we get to live into more of ourselves as a result. Another simple tool that I'll share with you that lends itself more to audio than visual, or both. It's great to see visually. That is the triple warmer sedation. And this is a meridian that aligns and is best friends with our sympathetic nervous response. So the parts of us that are always constantly protected, that must be on all at all times, just in case something goes wrong, the triple warmer is in charge of that. So we can sedate it and soothe, literally self-soothe, in a way that is really delightful. So to trace the triple warmer meridian, you take one hand and go to the opposite ear, start at the temple, trace around with your fingertips, around the back edge of the ear, down the side of your neck, down the top of your opposite arm, and out the fourth or ring finger. While taking deep breaths, I'll describe that one more time. Trace out around the edge of your ear, starting at the temple, around the back of your ear, down the side of your neck, down the shoulder, down the outer edge of your arm, and out and off the fourth finger. Do that several times while taking some deep breaths at your pace. And just notice what you notice. With any intervention, my friends, notice what you notice. Your data, your experience is the most important here. I might be suggesting it. It might have an impact on you. It might not. So with any practitioner, any toolkit, please don't shut on yourself about this should work, this shouldn't, this was great, Shannon said, therefore it is. No, no, really experience it for yourself and see what you think. But give it a really good go, right? And develop a practice with it. Try it every day for 2 minutes. or try it 3 times a week for 2 minutes and see what you notice. But those are a couple of things. Just lengthening the exhale and sedating the triple warmer meridian are ways that we can start to control our experience rather than triggers, fear, our old experience, those old ghosts controlling us. Where we start to take control in a way that's nurturing so that we can get over the hurdles and see the wisdom on the other side of fear through what is getting stirred up, where so we can start to make sense of the murky water in the fish tank, right? Because when things are getting stirred up, it can be really challenging to have faith and clarity on the other side. It can be really challenging. It can be hard to see that forest for the trees. I've been there. Why did I start this? Oh my gosh. That's why it's got to be really clear. As we said, episode 11, go back to that. Getting really clear on your why. That anchor and why you're moving forward with this change really helps to have that crystal clear vision and reminders of that when things are stirred up and you can't see clearly. You're not going crazy. You're just pulling on old energy. And you're giving yourself a chance for a vibrational upgrade that everyone around you will benefit from. Most importantly, you will benefit from. So take a deep breath with me as you even consider trying those modalities on. And I'll just run through a few. You're welcome to write these down. You're welcome to pause. But a few things that also might help to write about or put you through your own filter process if you'd like a little more wisdom. And these could be journal prompts. They could be just exploration, things to talk about with your dear friend over coffee, you name it. What are you needing more? What are you needing more of as things are getting stirred up? We want to ramp up the compassion and dial down the self-judgment. So what do you need more of right now in this process? Extra crazy self-love, my friend. It will not let you down. Usually it's more soothing in some way, some rewards that are helpful, not contributing to patterns of addiction or coping strategy that we're looking at, but what's a new form of reward that's useful for you, that's in alignment with where you want to go, right? For me, it's, you know, maybe I don't reward myself with the cookies and Netflix. Maybe it's I just enter a texting session with a really conscious friend, right? For a few minutes and I let her know how I'm doing. Or I actually take a few more minutes for myself at the end of the day than I think I need, because I always need it, but I don't know it, right? As you begin to face changes, what other sources of support can you call in that support your higher vibration? What practices connect you to your own source, your own divinity, in ways that are meaningful for you? Some of these might be old rituals. So not everything old is bad. If there are old, beautiful, comforting rituals from your spirituality, your religious practices, childhood, what are those old rituals that are really supportive and comforting right now as you face changes in other areas of your life that you can bring in? Who would you be without this perhaps limiting belief that's showing up? I'm the type of person that has to do this. Who would you be without it? Some of Byron Katie's work. Is this absolutely true? The work by Byron Katie is a lovely, lovely practice. I encourage you to take a look at that when we're challenging some beliefs, the 4 questions. Am I absolutely this person? Who would I be without this belief that's holding me back? What would be possible? And always tuning into the wisdom of the body. What do you notice in your body when you invite that fear to tea? To sit down with you. What do you notice in your body when you envision the potential of this beautiful new life experience? What does your body have to say about it? Where do you feel opening? Where do you feel lighter, less tightness? Where can that be a new pattern of reward and attention? Because, right, what we focus on expands. The mind flows where energy goes. Choose your fun saying. But where can we bring more of that expansive, light, free energy into the body? What do you feel? There's wisdom there. And then, of course, what times are best for you to sit with the harder stuff to the degree that it's safe? Identifying a smart, right time to sit with and identifying a time to not sit with it. Times and places for things, right? Now is not the time, right? We don't want to punish ourselves by sitting in something at a time that's already stressful. So finding the right time, like a deep conversation with a loved one that might be challenging, find the right time to sit with those places in yourself that bring up fear and need nurturing love and attention. For that date to be the best possible experience with you that it possibly can be. Ah, so I know, sitting with fear isn't the best, most great time. Even if after listening to this podcast, you need to listen to a really dorky song, sometimes I need to do that, bring in whatever it is for you. But I thank you just for being willing to go there, to explore it. And if you need some deeper tools, my friends, please reach out. innerpeacerising.com. I am Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, at innerpeacerising.com. And again, you can go to the Inner Peace Rising Facebook page, facebook.com/innerpeacerising. Take a look at when the next Love in the Mirror live courses and auditable pace as you go courses are available. Those are coming up soon in 2020. And ping me. Let me know how this is going for you. Let me know what's working for you. You all have incredible strategies and wisdom that you're already using with this stuff. That's usually why you're here and drawn to this content. So I am such a geek about this. Share with me what's working for you. Share the success stories. Share the small wins. That's how we thrive. We focus on what's working. So please bring it. Bring it and share it in our community. And thanks for being with us. Next week episode, we're looking at the gratitude for stirring with all this up. We're looking at, what happens when we get that beautiful clear fish tank? So tune in next episode around gratitude and love for yourself. It's going to be a fun one. And I thank you, everyone, for being with us today. My friends, thank you for being with us on this episode of the Love in the Mirror podcast. I'm Shannon Bodie, and I thank you for being willing to even sit with the idea of what's getting stirred up. This is how we move forward, and I'm grateful, so grateful for your listening, for your time and attention, for choosing to be here in the course of your busy day. And I'm grateful for you sharing this podcast. This is a free resource for others. So please like it, share it, spread it to anyone who may benefit. That's why we're here. And until next episode, let's take a deep breath together. Connect to the peace that's here and possible. And I'm so grateful for all of you. Thanks for being here, everyone.